So we make a lot of decisions and a lot of choices every single day. I mean, you've made a ton already today. You chose to wake up. You chose what to wear. You chose to get into the car. You chose to drive here. So our life is full of decisions and choices. And I'm going to give you a few more decisions and choices just to kind of make sure we're all on the same page on the choices we make. These should be kind of fun, but it's also going to be fun because I'm going to learn a lot more about you. So here's how this is going to work. I'm going to put some options on the screen, and you're just going to raise your hand on which one. So, for example, you would much rather have summertime than winter. Where's all my summer people at? You would rather choose summer. Winter people, you know you live in the South, right? All right, just making sure. All right. Next one, coffee or tea? Which one is your choice? Are you a coffee person? Most. Where's my tea people at? Yeah, there you go. I love it. All right. This one's going to be controversial. Prepare yourself. Are you vacationing in the beach, or are you going to vacation in the mountains? Where's all the beach people? Beach bums? Really? Mountain people? Fascinating. Okay. 945 would rather go to the mountains. All right. Good to know. This one could go either way. This was an easier one when we walked through it with the 8:30 service a little bit ago. How many of you are, you'd rather wake up early versus stay late? So where's all my early risers? You'd rather wake up early. I know it's going to be about 50-50 at the 9:45. How many of you are like, nope, let me stay up late and I'm going to sleep in? Okay. Some of you are like, I'm still waking up. I don't know how to answer this one. All right. So let's say you go to the movie theater and you have to choose between popcorn and candy. Which one are you going to choose? Popcorn. Most. Candy. Any candy people? Not very many. All right. Interesting. All right. Speaking of movies, you either go to a movie or you go to a concert. Which would you prefer? The movies? Concert, looks like most of you. Great. Now, these next two, these are gimmies. I feel like I shouldn't even have to ask them, but I'm going to anyway. Bucky's or racetrack? Do I even need to ask Bucky's? Where's all the Bucky's people? Oh, no. Really? I'm not going to let the rest of you raise your hand. No. Bucky's, always Bucky's. All right, next one, absolutely a gimme, but I'll ask it just in case. Chick-fil-A or Zaxby's, do I even need to? Chick-fil-A, I mean, yeah, it's not even up for debate. I mean, it's not even up for a conversation. Right, so we make a lot of decisions in life. We're constantly making choices. I want us to be a little curious today. I want us to be curious as to how we make our decisions. Now, just going through that list right there, most of those decisions are going to be based around two things. Preference and experience, right? I prefer coffee or tea. I prefer to go to vacation in the mountains or at the beach. There's a preference you have, or it's just out of experience. You have been to a Bucky's before and you have sworn to never go back maybe. You've experienced something and so that has helped you in your decision making. Or maybe you're just a very logical person and you just look at the two decisions and you're like, this is what makes the most sense. Maybe financially, maybe in the stage and season of life you're in, there might be a logical side of you making that decision. But kidding aside, if we were to look at not just a few silly examples, when we start getting into the deeper, more difficult, and even the heavier decisions, what do we do with those decisions? How do we make those choices when we're talking about jobs and careers? When we're talking about which schools to go to, when we're talking about getting married, when we're talking about kids, when we're talking about how to handle and walk through a strained and tense relationship, the decisions as parents get older, how do you care for them? There's a lot of other decisions that have a lot of other implications. And so how do we make those decisions? I think all of us desire to make a good decision. I don't think there's any of us that walk around like, I'm just making a bunch of bad decisions today. We desire to make good decisions. We want to have good judgment, but we kind of get stuck because we're not sure how to make a good and wise decision. We want to have good judgment, but we're not sure how to develop good judgment. So the question I want us to ask and how we're going to be very curious in our decision making today is with this question. How do we make wise decisions? And this is the big part. That align with God's word and God's will. That word align is really important for us today. How do we make wise decisions based on God's word and God's will? And when we talk about alignment, we are not asking God to change his word or change his will. We are asking God through the Holy Spirit to change our hearts and our minds, to change us so that we become aligned with him. God's not moving, right? His word is true. His will is perfect. So we're asking God, would you align my heart? Would you align our hearts with yours so that we can make a decision and make choices that are pleasing to you, God? But our hearts have to be aligned. It's not just about the decision. It's about having our hearts aligned with his. We've been studying through Proverbs this whole summer. We are in the second round of Proverbs. So that means we have gone through Proverbs. We will be going through Proverbs twice for this entire summer. So it is July 20th. So that means we are in Proverbs chapter 20 today. That's exactly right. As we go through Proverbs 20, we're going to look at seven specific verses that in some context speaks to how we make godly decisions, make wise choices that align our hearts with him. So as we go through each of these verses, we are going to pose it as a question. These are questions that are very helpful, and they're intended to help us in our decision-making process and making our choices. So let's go through each of these seven. We'll unpack them, talk about them a lot. The last two we're going to spend a lot more time on. Verse 5, though good advice lies deep within the heart, a person with understanding will draw it out. So this idea that there is wisdom, there's advice deep in our hearts, and the idea is it's there, but notice it's somebody with understanding, a wise person that is going to pull out what is deep in the heart. The deeper something is, the more effort it takes to pull it out, right? The deeper something is, the more effort and time it takes to bring it to the surface. So there's two ways that we want to look at this passage in regards to the decisions that we make. The first is at face value, that we need to spend the time, take the time to dig deep into our own hearts, into the hearts of others that we're seeking advice and counsel from, and take the time to spend the effort and spend the energy to pull out, God, what do you desire for me in this decision? That takes time and effort. It's not just saying, I need to make a decision, let's do this. It's deep. The wisdom is deep. So that means I need to spend the time, effort, and energy pulling out what the wise decision is. The other part of this is recognizing that deep in our hearts, there's also some sometimes hidden motivations, hidden intentions, motivations that on the surface look totally fine. But when we dig a little deeper, we start to recognize there might be some unhealthy or unrighteous motivations and intentions. Once again, spending the time and effort and energy it takes to dig deep into, why am I even making this decision? What am I really making a decision for? To dig deep into our own heart and our own motivations to see what is the purpose of me even wanting to make this decision. So here's the question. What is my deep motivation? What is in my heart? Not just what's on the surface. What is deep in my heart? What is my deeper motivation and intention? Now, every question that we are going to ask most certainly can be helpful in self-reflection. You should ask yourself that question. That's a great question to ask yourself. It's a great question to ask other people. God has specifically and intentionally placed people around you. So by all means, ask them to help discern and give advice. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But the most important thing we could do with this question is not ask ourselves and ask somebody else. Go to our Heavenly Father first. Always. We always go to him first. And it's interesting that in decision-making, sometimes we leave him off to the side. So may these questions, first and foremost, help guide us through our prayer life with our Heavenly Father, who knows all, who is wise and tells us, if you lack wisdom, all you have to do is ask for it and I will give it because I'm generous, he tells us. So may this also help you in your decision-making within your prayers. So you go to God and you say, God, here's the decision that I'm facing. Would you dig deep into my own heart and reveal my own heart's desire? And let's look at it and see if that's righteous or unrighteous, if my intents are wise or unwise. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 is a great verse to accompany with this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the way of everlasting life. Point out the motivations and intentionalities of my heart. Show me what the deepest parts of my heart look like so we can actually make some good decisions with that in mind. That's verse 5. Let's go to verse 7. Verse 7, we're told the godly walk, that is a key word there if you want to underline it and circle it in your Bible. The godly walk with integrity. Blessed are the children who follow them. Integrity, we've talked about this before. It comes up a lot in Proverbs and wisdom and wisdom literature. Integrity, as we know, is doing the right thing when nobody's looking. It's doing the right thing no matter what. But the word that precedes that helps us understand how we live out in a life of integrity. What was the word we all looked at, or at least told you to underline? What is it? Walk. Walk with integrity. A couple things that this teaches us about how we live a life of integrity. The word walk gives us two ideas. The first one, the most obvious one, is one step after another. That's the definition of walking. Walking is not taking one step and then stopping. Walking is not just standing still. Walking requires continuing and consistently taking one step after another. So the idea that God's word is teaching us here in regards to our decisions is you might not know where this is all going to end up. You might have a big decision to make and you have no clue what the right thing is and which way to go. So what do? We take one right step after the next right step. We make one good decision after one right wise decision. We just keep taking the right next step. That's this idea of one step after the other, of walking with integrity. So the question that we should be asking, question we want to ask in regards to this is, what is the next right step? What is the next right step? We might not know what is the 10th step. We might not know where this is all going to end up, but can we at least make the next right decision? Instead of being that whole paralysis by analysis, can we take one next decision that we know to be right, and then I'm going to take another step, making another decision that I know to be right, and so on and so forth. So what is the next right step? Again, that is a go to God first thing. God, I've got this big decision. I don't know what to do. Would you help me make the next right step? What is the next decision that I need to make? Because even though it's not that hard to decide whether you would prefer coffee or tea or where you want to go on vacation, most of our big decisions are very complex and complicated decisions. And it's not just one decision, is it? It's multiple decisions that pile up on top of each other that leads us to this final decision. So what is the next right step? What is my next right decision? The other part of walking has to do with pace, though. So literally, it's continually taking next steps, but there's also this idea of pace. So we are not told to run with integrity. We are told to walk with integrity. There are plenty of other places in scriptures that actually command us and tell us to run. Run from sexual immorality. Flee from it. Run the other direction. But here we're told to walk with integrity. So here's what I want you to hear from this. I want you to hear that you have been given permission by God's word to go a little slower, to move a little slower, to make decisions a little slower. Doesn't mean you're stopped and stuck. It means you continue to take a next step, but you're doing it at a slower pace. When we make decisions at a little bit of a slower pace, we're able to think about them a little bit more, aren't we? We just talked about digging deep into our motivations. That takes time. So we can continue to walk in integrity while moving a little bit slower as we're making the decisions in front of us. Move a little slower, but what is the next right step? Verse 8, very next verse. When a king sits in judgment, he weighs all the, what's the word here? He weighs all the evidence. He weighs all the evidence, so the facts, the truth, distinguishing the good from the bad. Now, that word evidence is real important here because it's focusing on just that. What is evidence? It's true, it's factual, it's objective. We've talked about this before, that emotions are not a bad thing. Emotions are very helpful. Emotions, we have to pay attention to them. How are we feeling? How does this make us feel? Empathy, how does somebody else feel? That leads to compassion. So feelings are not the problem. Feelings are not a bad thing. However, they should not be the decision makers for us. So we should be able to make good, godly, wise decisions where our hearts are aligned with God, but it's not an emotional decision. When emotions are in the driver's seat, that's when we start having some problems. They are not intended to make our decisions. We keep them in mind. We pay attention. We're curious about them. We pay attention to them, but we do not allow our emotions to drive the decision and make our decisions. Instead, according to God's word, we have this wonderful picture of kind of this weighing, is this right, is this wrong, is this good, is this bad, and looking at the evidence and the facts and the truth. Is it true? Is it real? What is, here's the question, what is the current reality, right? You have this image of this king that's, well, here's kind of what's happening here, and then here's what's happening here. So if we make this decision, this is what happens. If we make this decision, this is what happens. And it's a recognition of the current reality. The reason we need to ask that question, and the reason we need to go to God with that question, the reason we need to ask other people about that question, is because the line between wise and foolish, righteous and unrighteous, sometimes is just a matter of context based on the current reality. Sometimes it most certainly the decision is black and white. It's very clear. It's like, this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad. Other times we get into a decision where we're like, I don't know. Maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. I don't know. So we have to look at the current reality based on the truth, based on what is. Not what we feel, but based on what is. Let me give you an example, cheesy example. Let's say you're making a decision to buy a car, right? You want to buy a car, you feel like you need to buy a car, so let's look at this from the line of, well, is this wise or is this unwise? Is it wise or unwise to buy a car? Well, the short answer is, well, it depends. It depends on the current reality. It depends on the current context, which we have to look at. So if the current reality is my current car doesn't work, I've saved up money, so I don't have to go maybe as much in debt. Maybe I've done my research, and I've looked at all the different cars, and I know what I need, and so now I'm looking for a good deal. I'm going to go buy a car. That seems like, I mean, you shouldn't take advice from me on cars, by the way, but it seems like that would be a pretty wise decision. You need it. You've thought about it. You've looked at the financial realities and what that means, and you've done your research. You've done your homework, so that seems like a pretty wise decision. Let's say on the other side, you want to buy a car, and you don't need to buy a car. Your current car is just fine. You're just ready for something new. And let's say you don't have the money for it. This feels very impulsive. You just saw this car. It looked cool. So now you want to go and buy it. That feels like an unwise decision. So it's not so much about the car. It's not even about the decision. We have to look at the current realities to help us know, where is that line between good, bad, wise, and unwise? Does that make sense? Here's the thing. If we don't ask the current reality question, you know what we're really, really good at? Talking ourselves into anything. We can talk ourselves into that car. We can talk ourselves in and out of relationships. We can talk ourselves in and out of just about anything based on how we feel and what we want in the moment. So to ask God, to go to God, God, will you help open my eyes to see what is true? Help me see the current reality. Inviting people into your life to help you see the current reality helps you navigate the wise and the unwise, because it's not just always about the decision. It's about the context as well as the current reality. What is true? Verse 12, ears to hear and eyes to see, both are gifts. What a great word there. Both are gifts from the Lord. We know the saying that you've been given two ears, you've been given two eyes, and only one, what? Mouth, right? There's a reason for that, that we are intended to be, and you have to learn to be, a good listener and a good observer, to listen to the people around you, to see the world around you, to pay attention and not just be so focused on the speaking part of things. So I love that scripture here tells us that these are gifts from the Lord, that our eyes and ears are gifts. So then how do we use our gifts? We use the gifts of our ears. We use the gift of our eyes to listen and learn from the people around us. We do that through perspective, right? When we are looking at making a decision, we are seeing that decision through our lens and our lens alone. We're seeing it from our point of view and our point of view alone. So it is wise to use, as scripture would tell us, to use our ears and eyes to see and hear other perspectives, to be curious about this decision and this choice, not just from my own point of view and my perspective, but to invite other people to speak into, well, here's the way I see it. So what's the question? What are other perspectives? Not just what I see, not just what I am hearing, but what do you see and what do you hear? Just like with all the other questions, we go to God first, though. God, what is your perspective? So often we're making decisions and choices that are not saying they're not important, not saying they're not valuable, but in the grand scheme of all of eternity, we don't usually make decisions with that part in mind. So to go to God and say, God, will you help me have an eternal perspective in this decision? Will you help me see from your perspective, not just my earthly, human, selfish perspective? We need God to help us see life and decisions from his perspective. And then it is valuable. God has placed people around you. We keep saying that, to ask them to be curious. What do you see? We're not asking for an opinion and advice. We'll get to that in a second. We are purely asking for what they see, what they hear. Because often we're looking at the same thing, just different points of view. If I pull out a coin and I hold the coin up, we're both looking at a coin, but I see from one side and you see from another side. And if I'm only making decisions based on what I see, I'm missing an entire other side. Maybe that changes my decision, maybe it doesn't, but at least I can be more informed. So to invite other people to say, hey, here's what I see. I'm thinking about making this decision. I'm wrestling through this. Here's what I see. What do you see? And it's amazing when we use the gifts that God has given us of ears and eyes to listen and see from somebody else's point of view. We end up saying, wow, I never thought of that. I never saw it from that point of view. I had no idea that's what you saw. So all of a sudden, it's opening up our eyes to a bigger part of the decision that we are making. It cannot just be about us and our lens. We have to invite God to help us see from his perspective, from an eternal perspective, and invite other people to give their perspectives as well. So what are the other perspectives? Next passage we're going to look at is verse 18. Now we're going to talk about this idea of advice. How do we get advice from other people? Verse 18, plans succeed through good counsel. Don't go to war without wise advice. This idea of good counsel, wise advice, is not just found in Proverbs chapter 20 that we're studying today. We see the idea of counsel and advisors throughout Scripture and most certainly throughout Proverbs. Here's just a quick list. Here's four. That's what we could fit on the screen. So here's four other passages that speak to, in Proverbs, that speak to wise counsel and godly advisors. Look at the first one. Look, there is safety in having many advisors, not just one or two people that tell you what you want to hear, but many advisors that are speaking wisdom to you. Chapter 12, verse 15, fools think their own way is right, but listen, the wise listen to others. Just talked about that a moment ago. The wise are listening to the advice of others. Chapter 15, verse 22, plans go wrong for a lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. We see the idea of many now listed twice. Last one here, verse 20 out of chapter 19, get all the advice and instruction you can so you will be wise the rest of your life. So now it's go out and find this wisdom. Go out and find these advisors. Go and get instruction. It's not just waiting for somebody to speak into you. You are being proactive and saying, I want to hear from you. I'm seeking advice. I'm seeking good and wise counsel. Will you speak truth and wisdom into my life? That's what Scripture is teaching us. Once again, God has placed people around you very intentionally. May we recognize who God has placed around us, and may we be willing to go to them and ask for the advice. Here's the decision I'm looking to make. What do you think? Now, a couple key words here. When we're asking somebody for advice, it requires discernment on your part that the people you're asking advice and counsel from is giving you wise, godly counsel and advice. When you say, what do you think? You really don't care what they think. What you're really wanting to know is, what do you think about this situation and this decision in the context of God's word and God's will? Remember, we're trying to align. We're asking God to align our hearts with his word and his will. So when you're asking people's advice, if they are just giving you what they think, don't listen. You're saying, based on God's word and God's will, I'm looking for advice. So the question you should be asking yourself and the question we go to God with is, what advice has been given? When you do receive advice from other people, you should take that advice before the Lord and say, God, here's what I'm hearing. Does this match up with your word? God, this is the advice that I'm being given. Does this align with your will? You always bring that advice back to the Lord. What advice has been given? If it's been given, then you have an opportunity to take it before the Lord and ask him his advice, because that's who we're really wanting to listen to. Now, in regards to who you get advice from, let's dig in just a little bit deeper, maybe even adding some categories I think is helpful. This is how I view it in my own personal life. Let me put this up on the screen. You'll see me in the middle, and these are the groups of people that I seek wisdom and counsel and advice from. So first, I would start with my family. I would go to Becky. My wife has the gift of discernment. So any decision that I'm making, any choice that we are making, I'll run it by Becky and I'll be like, hey, what do you think on this? Like, how do you see this in God's word? Does this feel like a right decision, wrong decision? I'm seeking her advice because I trust her and the gifts that God has given her. I still do this with my mom and dad even. I'm calling them and I'm like, man, like Becky and I are walking through this with our kids and parenting. Do you have any advice? And then I just get like a bunch of laughs over the phone and they basically say, you'll figure it out. But we're always going to family members and asking for advice because they've been there. They've walked through that. They have gifts that God has given them. I have a group of friends that I go to, not because they might be experts in making decisions, but because they know me really well. They know the good and the bad about Brian. And so as I'm seeking wisdom and making a decision, a good decision, they're able to not just speak into the decision itself, but they're able to speak into me personally. And we get to talk about heart and motivation and what is this leading to and what are the other consequences, intended or unintended, that come from this. So you have people around you that know you well. Invite them in to speak wise counsel and advice to you. Counselor, if you've been around me long enough, you know that I believe that counseling is a sign of strength, never a sign of weakness. I go to counseling. I have a counselor. A counselor is not there to give you advice, though. They are there to help you discover how God's made you and help you understand what has happened in your life and how that is causing you to think and live and make decisions in the present. So having a counselor there that's able to look into your life and look into the truths of God and help you connect the dots is extremely helpful and beneficial. So I would say have a counselor. A mentor. A mentor is somebody that is further along than you are. I have a mentor who's been in ministry a whole lot longer than I have. And so I get to go to him and say, hey, you've made these decisions before. You've walked down this road before in family and marriage and parenting and church ministry. I've got some questions that you've probably asked and answered. I'm walking through something that you've already walked through before. So would you give me some of your wisdom? Would you help me understand? Give me some advice on how you navigated this through when you had to do it as well. So have a mentor. Authority. The way I want you to think about authority is, by the way, a very biblical concept. We are to submit ourselves under the authorities that God has placed over us. And there's a lot of different contexts that we see that in. Everything from within church leadership to just within community, within family. All of us have someone that is over us. We are not all on our own making our own decisions with no accountability. That's not how God set this whole thing up. So I would encourage you to look at who are those people that God has intentionally placed over you. And it would be wise of us to go to those in authority and seek their advice. Doesn't mean they know everything, but is another person to go to, another group of people to go to as we seek advice. Last one I have on here is advisors. Here's how I would describe advisors. That your friends probably don't interchange as much, right? Where it's like, man, those are your friends. Your family, that's your family. Your counselor, ideally you would stick with a counselor for a long period of time. Your advisors, I would say, can swap in and out based on their areas of expertise. So let's say you're trying to make a decision about your job. Right, I'm thinking about changing jobs and going to a new vocation. It would be wise of you to have some people that are in that job you are considering speak wisdom and advice to you about that current new job that you're considering. They're an expert in it, so they should probably give you some advice in regards to it. If you're looking to buy a house, you should talk with somebody that's an expert in homes. Give me some advice as we walk through this process, right? So you're looking for people that are experts in that field, where they have a track record that's proven to know what they're talking about in that specific subject. Those people can change in and out as you need based on the decision, but you need to have them. The point in all of that is it's not just you making a decision by yourself. So often, and yes, the weight of the decision is on you, is on me. We are required and responsible for making our own decisions, yes, but we are not called to make those in isolation. We bring them before the Lord, and we recognize the people that God has placed around us so that we can gain wisdom, so we can then decide what's wise and what's unwise. God, is this part of your will according to your word, or am I just making a decision based on what I want today? You have to have people around you not just one or two. You need to have a village of people around you that you have given permission to speak truth and life into you as well as advice. All right, so we have all of these. We have two left, but let me just pause here for a second. So you can do all of these. You've got a big decision you have to make, and so you bring it before the Lord, and you're asking him to search your heart. You're asking other people their counsel and their advice. You're asking from other perspectives, and you're asking God to help you have an eternal perspective. You're trying to make the next right decision, but it still feels like you're a little bit stuck. So you're doing all the right things so far. And I would imagine, like, if you're like me, you get to a place where we're going to call it the wall. You're doing your best, and you're seeking counsel, and you're seeking wisdom, and you're praying, and you're reading. You're doing everything right, but then you hit this wall, and you're still saying, but I don't know. I still don't have clarity. I still don't know what I'm supposed to do. I still don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I've done all of these, and I've been praying and praying and praying and asking advice and trying to gain wisdom, but I still don't know. Then what do we do? I've done everything right, and I still don't know what God would call me to do. The next two verses are going to speak to that. When we hit that wall and we still don't know what to do, and we still don't have clarity, what does God say? How is his wisdom leading us when we still don't have clarity? Verse 24 and 28 are going to speak to that. Let's start in verse 24. Verse 24, the Lord directs our steps. So why try to understand everything along the way? Let me read that again. The Lord directs our steps. So do I really need to understand everything? Do I need to have all of my whys figured out? The idea here is trust. At some point in your decision making, you're going to come to a place where you're going to have to choose, forget the decision you're making. The real choice is, am I going to choose to trust God or not? Am I choosing to trust him? Because we want full clarity. We want full understanding. We want to know it all and know how it all is going to work out. And in my understanding of Scripture, and in my own personal experience, that's not a promise with most of the decisions we're making. Couple points, couple examples. Abram, go to the Old Testament. God looks at Abram and says, hey, pack up everything and go to a land that I will show you. Well, where are we going? To a land I will show you. When will we get there? I will tell you when you get there. Why do we need to move? Pick up your stuff and go. He doesn't give an explanation, really. And so here's Abram making a choice. It's not a choice about moving. It's a choice about trust. Noah, God tells him, build a boat. There's going to be a lot of rain. So when's that going to happen? Just build the boat, Noah. Well, like, how's this all going to work out? Just build the boat. Where do I even start? Build a boat. It's not about building a boat. It's about choosing to trust. Moses runs away from Egypt. And then God says, go back to Egypt. And Moses, you can read the account, has a lot of questions. And God is so kind and so gracious, he answers most of them, but not all of them. Moses is making a decision not about going back to Egypt. It's a decision to trust in God. When Jesus calls his disciples, what does he say? Come and what? Come and follow me. He doesn't really explain other than I'm going to make you fishers of men. Fishers of what? How does this correlate, Jesus? Where are we going to go? How long is this going to take? What are we going to do? He doesn't answer any of those. Their decision to follow Jesus was not a career decision. It was a decision to trust in Jesus. At some point, your decision is going to come down to trusting in God or not. So the question that I would want you to pray through and then ask is, how will I need to trust God? Not am I trusting in God? Specifically, if I make this decision, what specifically will I be trusting God with? And if you can't come up with an area that you're trusting in God, I would say revisit the decision. Our decisions should have an aspect and an element of trusting in God. We are called to take steps of faith, not steps of certainty. Steps of certainty require no trust whatsoever. Steps of faith always require trusting in God. So what do we do when we're not sure what to do? We do the best that we can, trusting that God will direct our steps. As our heart gets aligned with him, his, we trust that he will continue to lead us. Here's the next one. We'll end here. Verse 28.
Unfailing love and faithfulness protect the king. His throne is made secure through love. Now, in context, this passage, this verse, this proverb, is not just talking about decision making. It applies to decision making, but it is not just about decision making. And I bring this passage up because I love the language used to describe this king and the decisions he has made that now leads to security. Notice it says, his throne is made secure through, do you remember the last word that was mentioned there? Through love. The king's throne is made secure through love. Really not talking about every little decision he made, but it's really, at the end of the day, the overarching theme here is a decision based on our relationship with God. Love. All of the words that are used here, unfailing love, faithfulness, love is mentioned again. Those are relational words. And in our decision making, sometimes we look at our decisions and we keep God to the side and we just use God as one of our advisors. We just use God as somebody that we go to for advice, take it or leave it. I want to know your opinion, but I'm not saying I'm going to actually do it. Instead of every decision we make being made in the context of our relationship with him. Becky and I, as husband and wife, we don't make decisions without discussing together and being unified in our decision. But when it comes to our relationship with God, we feel like it's just our own to make. So this language here, unfailing love, faithfulness, is talking about a deep, meaningful relationship we have with God. And in that relationship with God, that's where we make decisions. Let me tell you why this is so important. Because when we don't know what to do, we always fall back on who he is. It's not always clear on what we are to do, but who he is very clear. And here's how this helps us in our decisions. When we know him, as best as we can, not perfectly, but when we know him, we will know his heart and his desires. We will know his perspective. We will know what he cares about. And if we know him, I think we will know enough to know what decisions to make. Case in point, Becky and I, we celebrated our 17-year anniversary last June. So we've been married 17 years. Love it. In those 17 years, we always go on date nights. That's a big deal for us, and we keep that. We always do that. And so when we go on a date, early on, like years 1 and 2, 3, we would go on a date, and I would ask the question, which maybe if you're newlyweds, don't ask the question, but the question is, where do you want to go for dinner, right? That usually starts a fight, right? Even all the way now, fast forward 17 years, we get the babysitter, we get our kids, we like just peel out of the driveway. And as we're in the car on the road, I'll lean over and I'll look at Becky and I was like, so where do you want to go tonight? And 9 times out of 10, you know what her answer is? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know what I feel like. So early Brian in marriage would have been like, well, how can I take you on a date if you don't tell me? And she's like, why are you yelling at me? Just know me and know my mind. And I'm like, I'm not a mind reader. That was early Brian. 17 years later, she still doesn't tell me what she wants, but I've grown and learned. So here's what happens now. Becky, where do you want to go to dinner? I don't know. I don't know what I feel like. And then I'm like, I got it. Because I know her. I know what she likes. I know what she doesn't like. I know she doesn't like Asian food. I know everything that we've had this last week. We just have had pizza. We just had a burger yesterday. So I'm like going through all the things that we've already had. And I can get to a place based on knowing her, I can figure out pretty close if I take her here, we'll be in good shape. Like, and I would even venture to say, we've been here recently, but as I think through it, Becky, if we were to go on a date today, I feel like it's probably down to two places. And I think one of them or the other, I'm gonna say either Senor Fiesta or Chicken Salad Chick. Like one of those two would be pretty decent, right? Not bad, right? So I've got a pretty good shot. She's probably happy with both of those based on what I know about her. So as we know more about God, we can make decisions based on who he is, not just what we're not sure of what we're supposed to do. Make it about the relationship with him, not just about what needs to be decided on. Romans chapter 12 speaks to this idea as well. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. So now we're entering into a relationship, an ongoing relationship with our Heavenly Father. It says, this is the kind that he will find truly acceptable. Then he says, this is the way to truly worship him. So that's what our relationship with him looks like. We begin a relationship. Then we begin to be changed from the inside out. Verse 2, we looked at this last week. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person, changing the way that you think. So now I'm in a relationship with him. Now he's changing me from the inside out. Look at this. Then, everybody say then. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. But it's in that order. We have a relationship with him and we get to know him. He changes us from the inside out and he begins to align our heart with his. And we begin to know him. And when we know him, we can begin to know the decisions to make. So the question to ask is not just what do I do? The question to ask, what do I know about the heart of God? What do I know about him? And as I know more and more about him, I will learn the decisions I need to make. I will begin to have my heart aligned with his so I can begin to know what pleases him because his will is perfect. As he is. But it begins with that relationship. So here's what I'm gonna have us do. I'm gonna give you just a moment. I'm gonna read a passage out of Psalms, and then I'm gonna pray, and I'm gonna lead you all through a guided prayer. Here's how I want us to approach this next 2 minutes. I want us to approach it with, there's probably some decisions that you need to make. Like you're smack in the middle of it. Man, I don't know if we're gonna do this or that. Maybe it's like a big life-changing decision. Maybe it's just this decision that's been sitting in the back of your mind and you just haven't done anything with it. So whatever that decision is, I want that decision to be in mind. Let me read out of Psalms and I'll explain how we're gonna do this prayer. Psalm 37, verse 3-5. Trust, talked about that, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord. That's relationship language. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires because our hearts have been aligned with his. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. See the theme there? Trust him. Keep making the right decisions. Delight in him and your relationship with him, and he will align your heart with his. Trust him and commit everything that you do to him. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to walk us through a guided prayer where I'm going to have you repeat part of this prayer back to me. Not really to me, but to God. We're going to repeat it back together. I'm going to leave a little space, and then I'll give you another prayer to pray and to repeat back. So let me pray, and then I'll tell you what I'm going to have you repeat. God, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to ask you for help, to seek wisdom from you. Thank you so much for being so generous and giving us wisdom and being so kind and putting wonderful people around us and whom we can seek advice and counsel from. Thank you for your word that is true and is helpful and useful in all of our lives, in all of our daily living, and all of our choices we make. As we wrestle with decisions in our life, may we first and always first come to you, God. Our Heavenly Father, we seek wisdom from you. We desire to know your perspective, and we rely and trust on you to lead us in the way that you would call us to go. So church family, if you would repeat this prayer back, God, reveal my true motives to me. God, remind me of what is right. God, open my eyes to the truth. God, help me to have an eternal perspective. God, place the right people around me. God, I trust you. Father, align my heart with yours. God, we need you to help us to make these decisions. Whatever decisions we're holding in our heart and in our mind, would you continue to lead us as we trust in you? And all of God's people said, amen.